listening to BGU Radio.
Places are meaningful for us as human beings. The smells, the voices, the sounds. But like missing a grandmother's home, many of us have things from our grandmother. I have a ring. I have special dishes. I have a special table mat, postcards. But most importantly, we have memories.
We all have memories. Memories of places dear to us. Because as much as we inform the places we inhabit, so do the places we inhabit shape us. And as Cicero told, memories are the treasure and guardian of all things. Certainly, this is true for the building for the Ben-Gurion Research Institute for the Study of Israel and Zionism, or BGRI for short. Indeed, the reminiscence you just heard was from Professor Paula Caballo, the former director of the institute.
The BGRI, that includes the Ben-Gurion Archives, are very soon to move to their new home, a large grey building on the opposite side of the village of Midrashet, Ben-Gurion.
I am Trishla Vikas, a postdoctoral researcher.
And I am Kofi Akodraboidi, a PhD student, and both of us are at the Jacob Lansdan Institute for Desert Research. So, before BGRI move, we wanted to know and share some of the many stories that people have experienced in the old building. We wanted to make a mosaic of memories, an archive of the David Ben-Gurion Archive. Located at the very entrance of the Midrasha, the BGRI is very easy to miss. Hidden behind shrubbery and trees, it is now an old building. But it is not difficult to see why once, long ago, it had won a prize for its unique architecture.
When classes started, when I had to go there for the first time, I walked past the building 3 times. I just couldn't believe that was my building. It looked so decrepit and dilapidated. I said, that can't be my building.
That was Jaideep Prabhu, a current student of the BGRI. But what did Mikhail Moyal, the former head of administration, have to say?
Who built it?
Reminiscent of a 1950s UFO, cunningly disguised as a human structure, the most striking feature of the building is its facade. 12 huge concrete triangles surrounding the whole building. At first glance, they appear to function as structural support. However, upon second and even third glance...
And I didn't quite understand triangles on the building. Very strange. As you understand, I have a very big issue with the concrete triangle. But they didn't allow us to build another building.
Yet you cannot help but wonder if there is more to them than just that.
When I asked the architect, what was the concept of the building? And why did they choose to make those triangles from concrete? They said to me, a concrete triangle, the Bedouin tent in the desert. I will tell you, I've never seen a tent building from concrete. And the whole idea of a tent is that you can move. I couldn't do it with those strange concrete triangles.
And when we asked others, it is clear that they had not quite understood the architect's intention either.
Ah, I did not know that. It looks like egg crates to me.
Or had assumed a more practical interpretation. Here is Professor Avi Bareilly, the current director of BGRI.
Those triangles, I think the original idea was to make shades of the big windows. It's beautiful. From outside, the building is beautiful.
3 different views on the concrete triangle that are ever present around the building. From the architect, as tents. From a member of faculty, as functional architecture. And from a student, hasn't got a clue.
Moving past the concrete triangles, you are greeted by a second curious sight. Situated right in front of the main entrance is a bust of David Ben-Gurion. Not just any bust, but a giant head staring at you like a Medusa. This is Rima Diab, a graduate student, describing her first impression of it.
The first thing I noticed about the building was how much big was Ben-Gurion's head. I remember this was surprising to me. There was like a big statue outside the building.
Indeed, a very big head for a very big man. And just as there is much debate on the man, so too are there many different opinions on his head.
I don't like this statue at all.
That would definitely be the best part of the building for me. I love that head.
Past the statue is the main entrance. And upon entering the building, you're stuck by two things. The curious layout and the decorations. The building has many tight corners and small windowless rooms.
The location of the building is in the most beautiful site in Israel, the Zion Valley and Chod HaKev, and there's no window to the view. The biggest window in the building is just in the opposite side.
But this window is overlooking the least attractive part of the surroundings. And so many bookcases seemingly scattered just about everywhere. Yet, this labyrinthine layout had supposed purposes.
It's an awkward building. It was not designed for the institute. They had to do something with tourism before.
After this, I learned that the building was built for the Negev Museum.
But the staff had other ideas. The building needed to be made fit for its academic purpose.
It made a lot of changes in the building, inside the building and outside. When I first saw the building, the entrance was a very old wooden door, painting in yellow like a lemon. Maybe it would be a good idea for a curbing garden.
Still, despite the staff's best attempt at making the interior into their own image, people's experience with the building remained mixed.
I remember that I felt very historical in that building.
What do you expect from a building that's really old? You know, it also has that sense of interior decor, the linoleum floors, you know, the walls are not spiffy, it's bright and white and sterile. It's not warm or welcoming. You know, it really felt like a forgotten Soviet prison in Siberia.
However, in spite of this rather colorful description, the layout also had one positive.
The old building was cozy. The space cultivated non-formalistic human relations. Due to the space, the people are engaged with each other all the time.
Now, a building is only as good as its inhabitants. After all, a palace on a deserted island has no king. And BGRI's function was as an academic research institute. So we asked some of the occupants, what were your experiences working there?
To have a real connection between us as a student. So I remember that Michal bring us some chocolate cakes, like to Yala, okay, you're a patient student, you're amazing, so Yala, take some chocolate cake and wait for your exam.
So the children of the Midrasha in the school, each time the children came to one of the activities, they tried to go up on the triangle, on the conflict triangle, which was very, very amusing.
The institute is a family-like workplace. And the building has to do with it. The new one is rather big, but the old one is cozy.
However, you can't be a good family without debates among its members.
I can remember the lectures, the atmosphere, which was friendly but tense.
The building is also where I had a lot of really fun arguments with professors.
How much I can get political.
It was our academic home.
The building, which housed the Ben-Gurion archives, had its own peculiar effect on the people. For some, it was positive.
I have become fonder of Ben-Gurion over the last 2 years. I have learned to truly admire his ability to plan. I mean, he was obsessive-compulsive in a very good way, I think. It's unbelievable.
We have a lot of intellectual memories from the seminar room. The seminar room represents intellectual occasions, social occasions. A lot of debates, a lot of sometimes struggles.
While for others, it presented a unique struggle. Professor Paula Caballo, for example, bears the same first name as David Ben-Gurion's wife.
I used to coordinate interviews with Ben-Gurion's old friends, and I cannot even tell you how many times I called and I said, "Hi, this is Paula from Ben-Gurion Institute," and silence, silence. And the guy says, "Okay, this is a joke. Okay, you're kidding me." Later, I realized that people just can't believe that Paula is actually calling them. A person called Paula is calling them from the Ben-Gurion Research Institute.
And speaking of receiving calls from beyond the grave, there are rumors of the building being haunted.
It's not an ordinary building and it has its own spirit. I think he's now annoyed that we are leaving. The building is making a point. We have troubles with the air conditioning, with the electricity, with plumbing.
I think the building is possessed because we have these random power outages, internet outages, and sometimes it happens in one room and not the other. Sometimes it happens across the building. Sometimes there are noises. We're not really sure what they are. And when I ask people, they say, well, we're going to the new building. Don't worry about it. That's their answer.
Deep below BGRI lie the famed Ben-Gurion Archives. It is a large space, climate controlled, with gray walls and bright white lights above, full of metal cabinets, each filled to the brim with endless rows of boxes, full of correspondence, diaries, political commentaries, and more.
When I saw them the first time, it felt like a treasure island for me, a place full of untold stories.
The archives, it's like a magical place for me. And I love the archive. I love it. I love it. They let me go in. And you see these shelf after shelf after shelf of boxes. And it really transports you. It's like a sense of history.
Interesting to me. Surprising, I can say. Inside like big room, calm, make you like feel lonely.
Dark, underground, concealed, secrets that are waiting to be unfolded. But in another sense, something that is, it is open. You can read. You can see, you can dive into it.
But much like any good treasure hunt, to get to the gold in the archive, one needs to follow a treacherous, mysterious path.
The archive is in the basement, so there's a very, very narrow stairs. It's like a game. It's very adventurous to get into the archive. First time I went to the archive, I felt, you know, very curious. What am I going to find here? And then I saw the big door. It's like in a movie. Usually when you see a safe box or a safe door, it's in a bank. And the other side, we find money or jewelry or diamond. And so after the big, heavy door, I found the Journal of Ben-Gurion, the diamond of the archive.
But once you have found the jewels underground, they are truly valuable. Would like to share three different treasures that people have uncovered in the archives. One on David Ben-Gurion, one on the politics of Israel, and one that is truly special. Let's start with a story that Jaydeep found on his very first trip down into the archive in the very first box he opened.
This is right after the Peel Commission in 1937. When the British for the first time officially put forward the idea of partitioning the mandate again. And Shertok says, hey, listen, what do you mean partition? Hasn't it already been partitioned? How many times do you want to partition this? Ben-Gurion says like, yes, that's true historically, but we have to work with what we can get. If we try to get the whole pie, we'll get nothing. These are minutes of a meeting. This is not like a book, right? So you really get into how he thinks.
The archives truly allow one to see the inner mind of David Ben-Gurion. But so too, it can show the inner workings of a fledgling democracy, as Professor Avi Bareilly discovered.
I was looking into correspondence, and suddenly I see report of the Shin Bet of Israeli security services. The security service were engaging in tapping phone calls, middle of the road parties, like Ben-Gurion's own party and other central-right and central-left parties. This was something that we didn't know, and it was very important for understanding the development of early Israeli democracy.
But there is yet a further layer to the archives. We learned about this in a story shared by Professor Paula Caballo, who once took 95-year-old Lolita Goldstein, a great supporter of the university, down to the archives.
And I said, will you be okay with the stairs? She said, no problem, I'll take it step by step.
And when they got to the archives, Paula asked Lolita which boxes she would like to have a look at.
And she looked around and she said, I want to look at correspondence from the 1930s. I'll take 1936, because that's the year we had to leave Germany. I pulled out the box and I opened one of the folders and I told Lolita, okay, let's look around. So she starts flipping the papers and she stops and she says, oh, this is an interesting document in German. And she says, this is a document from one of the Jewish leaders in Germany. And he's now describing in real time what's happening to the Jewish community and how they're kicked out of their jobs and how the children are kicked out of school. And I can see a tear in her eye. And she says, it's my story. He's telling my story.
There were many more stories that people shared of the building where they spent so much of their lives. What we've learned is that although opinions about the building are mixed, people's overall experiences were almost universally positive. It speaks volumes of the people who worked there. We would like to share with you two final remarks. The first from Professor Avi Barelli, the current BGRI director, followed by Professor Paula Caballo, the former director.
These kinds of things are taking place when you are diving into an archive, and this happened to me.
The archives is telling our personal stories. Any one of us, especially people who belong to the Jewish community worldwide, can find themselves in the archive. But in fact, it's the story of all humanity.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast, an output from BGU Radio Academy podcast production course. This is our moving in present to BGRI. This podcast was produced by Nick Dupin, Samuel Nomo, Trishla Vikas, and Kofi Akodawa Boydi. We would like to acknowledge Mr. Eyal Bremen for technical support, and Professor Simon Barak and Dr. Boozy Raviv, our course instructors.
We are most grateful to Professor Avi Barelli, Professor Paula Caballo, Mikhail Moyal, Rima Diab, and Jaydeep Prabhu for their contribution. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate it and share.
Thank you and have a great day.